Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our Cinco de Mayo and special guest appearance with Henry the Rooster edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Some really good stuff on Facebook this week. Some really touching stories. Some really good ones about squirrels, believe it or not. And I'm thinking, because before we get too much into it, of course, it is the first Sunday of May. And it is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And, of course, doing that, of course, would be our wonderful Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. But this interview really belongs to Henry the Rooster. And I was really disappointed because Merritt and Beth had said, well, you know, Henry will join us. And I said, I'd love him to crow for us and all of that. And they said, well, Henry will join us if it's not raining. And then, of course, it's a rainy Sunday, so I didn't think that we were going to be able to talk to Henry today. And this is one of the very few times where I wish it wasn't just radio. I wish that we had the video and to show you guys, because I was so delighted with Merritt when Merritt and Cliff joined us here. Guess who's sitting on top of Beth's chest right there, curled up under her arm, is Henry the Rooster. So good morning, Merritt. Good morning, Beth. And good Henry. Morning. I love you, Henry. Oh, what a handsome chicken. Good morning, you guys.
He's our zebra rooster.
I was going to say, he looks like a zebra because he almost has black and white stripes on him. I don't know, what kind of rooster is he?
Plymouth Rock Rooster.
The Plymouth Rock Rooster is a zebra rooster.
On the larger size of the Plymouth Rocks, he's very large.
He is huge. You're one big boy, Henry. And he looks very fascinated with what we're doing.
He is. He's watching you very closely and listening. He made a sound, but I don't think you heard.
No, I didn't hear it. Henry, can you crow for us on Animal World? You know, your microphone is in that computer, and you could just go cock-a-doodle-doo-doo.
Well, Martha, maybe if you demonstrate.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. Oh, you know what I heard about? I know, because I was talking earlier, in this area, if people are needing help with animals, looking for shelters, rescues, sanctuaries, that sort of stuff, my name comes up, even though that's not what I do. But because I'm in the business, I can usually help them. Well, Nathan?
Let's just see if this will help Henry at all. All right, Henry, your turn. Okay, one more time. Nope. Doesn't seem to be. I mean, it got his attention,
Henry.
But
Henry.
He doesn't feel the need to talk back, it seems.
Well, anyway, I got a call from this gal who, long story short, has a whole bunch of animals, wants to open a sanctuary, but they have to move from where they are now and are looking for temporary homes for a couple of goats, a couple of turkeys, and then like 100 chickens. And she said they were all exotic chickens. And anyway, she said she has laughing chickens. Have you ever heard of laughing chickens? Well, she says they go cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, I've never heard a laughing chicken, a laughing rooster. You got, yeah. Could you laugh, Henry? Cock-a-doodle-doo. All right, that's my best impression of a laughing rooster.
But here's the thing. He knows you want him to.
Oh, yes. you're gonna really make me ask for it, beg for it, huh?
So smart, it's scary, but yeah, he knows what you want. And maybe he'll do it.
Okay, well, Henry, I love you so much. It doesn't matter. If you don't want to talk, it's okay. But if you'd like to crow for us, you can crow your little heart out. And it would be all right, too. Because sometimes you have to be quiet. But today and on the radio, you can crow. Because this is animal world.
He may be a little disconcerted about being indoors. He's not used to being inside.
Okay. Yeah. So this is not normal for him to be inside.
Well, I let him in the laundry room.
All right. So the confessions come up here. But anyway, we better get to business here. So Henry, you chime in whenever you want to, but oh my gosh, he is just magnificent. So, normally we're talking to you guys and I was saying, well, animals all over the world and what's going on, you know about everything, but we got some stuff going on right here locally that we need to deal with. And I was telling people earlier in the show, I would really, you know, we had these escapee zebras that got loose this last week. And I know I try my best, of course, when animal stuff happens. I watch everything and listen and get all the information I can. I thought I knew everything I needed. I should know because I really pay attention.
The story behind the story.
Yes, until you guys chimed in. It was like, well, of course, who's going to know more than anybody else? And my gosh, you guys had so much information and you confirmed, because when I heard the first report, because these were zebras in a trailer that were being transported somewhere and they pulled over along the highway and somehow the zebras escaped.
Yeah.
From their trailer.
Got the part about them escaping from the interstate exit at North Bend. And then, of course, there was the pursuit through the woods, and eventually they were rounded up. But meanwhile, we were wondering, where were these zebras really going?
Okay, well, that's what I said. You know, when I heard the first report, now, and I got a bad feeling right off the bat. I didn't like the way it felt. And then it said they were being transported to a sanctuary. And then I got, no, that doesn't feel right. What the heck is going on here? And then another report I got said they're going to a petting zoo. And I'm thinking, in Montana? What the heck? And so I was real confused and it didn't feel good to me. And then, of course, you guys, obviously, my word, I don't know how you get your information.
I'm proud to say we got the scoop.
You certainly did. So fill us in, because this is not a great situation about. No. Yeah. So tell us what you know.
Well, the owner of the zebras, Christine Kelchin, appears to have had no animals until July of last year. And then in the space of a little more than 6 months, acquired at least 22 horses, 2 pigs, 3 goats, 2 zebras before this truckload of zebras, with another 4 zebras. Henry's chiming in there. And she has them on 7 acres with no barn through a Montana winter.
And zebras were not meant to be.
Zebras come from a place where the temperature never drops below 60 degrees.
Yeah, they aren't designed to go through winters in our neck of the woods.
And the average temperature where she is in Montana through the winter is 31 degrees, which is a little bit below freezing.
Oh, geez.
Right now, the temperature is never rising as high as 60 degrees. So they're being put in the refrigerator. It is not a good place for zebras. It doesn't look like a good place for anything else, but it's especially not an appropriate place for zebras.
So this woman had no animals until last July. And so obviously there were times that she wanted to do a sanctuary or something, but then it was talking petting zoo. And then you had pictures of her with all kinds of animals inside her house, wherever she was.
in January.
But it sounds like this was just a whim or something, or maybe a way to make money, or but you know,
she started a number of businesses in a short period of time. She's selling a mobile coffee stand, which is apparently never used, asking $70,000 for it. It may have been sold by now. But she had also, within the last year, gone into the beauty shop business. She'd already started another business that appeared to be fairly successful, but we can't really confirm that. We don't really know what's going on, but it sure as hell doesn't make any sense. And the property we're talking about is 7 acres. They usually say one horse per 1 acre. Well, she already had 22 horses and 2 zebras, plus adding the 4 on 7 acres. We've heard
two were in full, so they were about to have two more.
They're about to
have two
more. And the location of this place is just off the main intersection in a little place called Opportunity, Montana, a suburb of Anaconda, a town of about 5,000, off the interstate. So it's not a place that's going to easily get traffic. And the location is a landlocked lot, basically. It doesn't have direct access off of either the two main cross streets, but it's behind the majority of the houses in the community.
Wow.
So
well, it sounds like, gosh, this woman has no business having these animals to begin with. That this was done on a whim or some kind of effort, since she's been in all these other things as well, that it must be an attempt to try to make money somehow, but totally not thought out. And at least the zebras, for sure, in an area and a climate that they don't belong in and will not thrive in. So bottom line, will anything come of the fact that these zebras escaped? So they got all this publicity and you found out all this. Do you think anything will be pursued or be done about this? Or
we're very concerned about that, because we got in contact with several humane organizations that have people in that general area. And it looks like they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, because they're, I'm guessing they don't want to end up being responsible for all of these animals. And they did have an experience there when a sanctuary called Montana Large Animal Rescue folded in that very area about 15 years ago with several hundred animals. And it took a major effort over 6 months to evacuate the survivors. Many of those animals died. So we're probably still dealing with the psychological aftermath of that failure, and they're looking at this and don't want to end up holding the bag. But somebody's going to end up holding the bag. It's going to be either the animals or organizations that are able to step in. And worst comes to worst, the sheriff's department is going to have to step in.
I think Montana is still the wild, wild west, though.
Well, I guess maybe the good news out of this would be that it actually happened and brought this to someone's attention, and perhaps it'll make it to the right whoever, which will do something to help these animals, because that's what's really important.
But meanwhile, at the very same time this was going on, a reporter for the Everett Herald brought to light that of the 325 mountain goats.
We have to take care of our advertisers, so we're going to do that first. But I was kind of blown away. Again, Merritt and Beth and Henry on top of everything. And the next, after the zebra stuff, then they came out with, you know, I guess if you have stripes, you get more attention, and maybe these goats need some stripes. Well, I had completely forgotten about this. You know, in the past, we had some problems, you know, people getting attacked by goats, mountain goats, because they lived where they shouldn't be. And we moved goats around and all. And then I didn't hear anything and I totally forgot. Well, that's a problem, folks, because apparently everybody forgot about the goats. And oh, is there a story to be told? And guess who's on top of it and knows? Henry the Rooster, of course. So, Henry, get the goat story together. God, I love him. He is, Oh, Henry, you are just magnificent. Ah, we got to get, you guys got to take a picture of him or something to get to me so I can put it up on Facebook or something so everybody can see this magnificent guy. Oh, man, he's just so.
Most photographed rooster in history.
He is just incredible. All right, so we'll take care of our advertisers and then we'll come back and find out what have we been spacing? What is... There's a real issue here, folks. We got how many? Like 300 missing goats? I mean, it's not just a herd of four or five zebras. We're talking hundreds of goats. Anyway, we'll find out because we don't know where they are. All right. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Don't let that herd mentality lead you off a cliff. We support Thinking for Yourself on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are almost midway through the last hour of our Cinco de Mayo edition of Animal World. We heard from our wonderful Linda Rasmussen. VerticalEnergyWorldwide.com is her website. She does the bioenergetic synchronization technique and energy codes. She works with humans and out of her office at the Interspace facility, the old Rainier Brewery. So you can see her in person at the Interspace, or she can work with you remotely, and she continues to offer a free remote treatment to any of you that would like to work with her, and working with her on the radio doesn't count. So even if you have a session with her on the radio, you can still have a free one off the air. And if you would like a free introductory session to the neuroenergetic balancing with Linda Rasmussen, all you got to do is call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. You can check her out at verticalenergyworldwide.com, and you can give her a call or text her for a free session at 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. Remember that I need you to take my phone number and give it to anybody you know has problems with dogs, because I need some work. And I help people understand their dogs, teach them how to live with their dogs, and solve problems quickly. Usually I only have to see them once, and I always do a free telephone evaluation. So please take my number and pass it out to everybody you know with dogs. 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. So, oh, Henry. Oh, that's so cute. Listen to you. That's a nice little radio clock. Did you see that? I put a cockatiel up there for you. That's my little cockatiel. And then my first call screener, Sandy, had a cockatiel, and she would bring him to the studio in his cage. And he fell in love with me the first time he saw me. And so he loved me. And we would put him in the studio and give him his own microphone. And he would come down to the microphone and wolf whistle at me, you know, and then talk. Oh, God, he was yeah, anyway.
That says a lot when a bird takes a shine to you.
Yeah. And so, and he would wolf whistle and then talk to me. So cluck, cluck, cluck. Oh, he's saying, I think maybe I've had enough of hugs. Oh, just going to stand on top of mom. Okay. Yeah, maybe you could get on her head. No, I don't think she wants that. Oh, and Nathan's got a cockatiel too. We got two cockatiels.
Easy.
Oh, maybe he's feeling ganged up on because we have, all right. If you're feeling ganged up here, we'll just, take my cockatiel away just in case so that we don't bother you with that. All right. So let's get back to business here. Anyway, so we found out what we could, and you'll keep us informed if we find out anything more about these zebras and what's going, their fate in Montana and all of that. But that brought up these big, magnificent white mountain goats. And I think, didn't it kind of started that the mountain goats were in an area somewhere over, you know, in that they shouldn't have been. And they were, some of the males were attacking hikers and stuff. Isn't that where it kind of all started?
It actually happened only one time.
Okay.
One goat did, in fact, ram and kill one man. There was another incident years earlier where a mountain goat dislodged a rock that fell down a cliff and hit a young man in the head. He was injured, but he recovered and hiked out. And there was one other case where someone got butted. So there are three cases in 20 years. But the gist of it is the mountain goats were introduced to what became Olympic National Park in the late 1920s by the National Forest Service to be hunted.
Uh-huh.
1938, when the park was created, the National Park Service does not allow hunting, so they were no longer hunted on the Olympic Peninsula. The population increased to about 400 mountain goats. Meanwhile, the mountain goat population in the rest of the state was very heavily hunted and declined from about 10,000 as of 1961 to barely over 2,000 by the time these goats were translocated from Olympic National Park. They shot 151, they moved 325, wiped out the mountain goat population in Olympic National Park, and the idea was they were going to rebuild the heavily hunted population in the North Cascades. Well, here we are 5 years later, and only four of the translocated mountain goats are known to have survived.
Now, how many did they translocate?
325.
Wow. And I thought that was the end of the story, that they translocated them and everything was fine. Apparently that's not the case. So 305, and there's only four that they know of that are alive?
About half of the goats were radio collared, and of those, four were found alive. The rest, because they weren't radio collared, they don't know what happened to them. But meanwhile, the total goat count in the North Cascades has continued to plummet. So even though the hunting has been suspended because of a scarcity of goats, the goat population is continuing to drop. And mountain goats in Washington, one of our iconic species, are now in pretty serious trouble everywhere except around the now Mount St. Helens Volcanic National Monument, where no hunting is allowed. So they've thrived there.
So is the assumption then that they moved these 300 and some goats, but they allowed them to be hunted?
That was the idea, to rebuild.
Now, and when people hunt goats, what do they hunt them for? Do they hunt them and eat them? I wouldn't think. I mean, what are they hunting them for, trophies? I mean, why are they hunting these goats?
Strictly for heads and hides. It's strictly a trophy business.
Okay. But and so now, is there any kind of rule or request or something? If you kill a goat with a radio collar, are you supposed to turn the collar in or something and let somebody know?
You're supposed to report it, whether people do or not, I don't know.
Apparently
there
not.
There are other causes of death among the mountain goats, though, and one of the reasons why they declined so much is that the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife didn't take into account well enough the other sources of mortality when they were setting the hunting limits. Those include, they're hunted by pumas, Now they're hunted to some extent by wolves. And they're also very vulnerable to diseases. Any sheep or goat disease can attack a mountain goat. And it's possible that the mountain goats from Olympic National Park, because they had more exposure to humans, had evolved more resistance to human-carried diseases, especially respiratory diseases. Then they're taken over and released among mountain goats that don't have this kind of human contact, don't have this kind of resistance. And it's very possible that they brought respiratory diseases with them that attacked the goats. We don't know. This is just a possibility. But it's one possibility that the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife itself has raised as one of the reasons for the decline.
Well, but it sure sounds like that this wasn't well thought out or managed properly.
It was a stupid idea to begin with, and we did.
Okay, bottom line, stupid idea to begin with. Okay.
Yeah, we exposed the hell out of it to the best of our ability.
Uh-huh. So what are they doing at this? Is there any plan or what? Anything moving forward?
No, about all they can do at this point is send people out to count goat poop.
Okay. But are there plans? I mean, do they want to restore the population and so forth? And or are they going to just stop hunting? Or I don't know.
Hunting is suspended in most of the areas where goats were hunted because the numbers have declined so much. And they're just going to have to let them alone and hope they can rebuild their population.
Only to be hunted again.
Wow. Well, let me check now. I know we're kind of going over time. Nathan, do we have Sita ready? Oh, we do not. I think we had to track her down last month as well. Did you give her a call?
I need to check if I have her phone number. I'm not sure if I do.
I remember I might have to give it to you. Anyway, time out here for a moment because I'm sure Sita's at Temple this morning, and I'm going to have to stand up to type this in for Nathan. So, Beth, talk to me about what you guys think ought to be done with these goats.
Well, I would say leave the goats alone. Stop moving them around. The Park Service or whoever, who moved them?
There's Park Service, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Forest Service.
They'll give you reasons why they need to do it, but the bottom line is they're doing it for the hunters. Huh. And so now we deal with the consequences that most of them died or were hunted.
And we're at risk of losing one of the truly iconic Washington state species. The mountain goat is almost the wildlife symbol of Washington.
If I remember, wasn't part of it they were eating, our native mountain goats were eating the native...
There's certain alpine wildflowers.
Yeah, so that's why they had to move them also. I mean, it's insanity.
But we traced the history of that claim, and the Park Service first began trying to get rid of the goats in 1969. They didn't get around to mentioning any risk to native plants until 1977. So for 8 years, they're looking for an excuse to move the goats before they finally found something that they could rationalize under the Endangered Species Act. And meanwhile, the contention is made...
Okay, time out. That may not be the right number for Sita, Nathan.
I don't see it anywhere. Where did you send it?
The chat.
On the Zoom here?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Oh, because I didn't.
Oh, there you go.
Gave you, but I don't. I forgot to send it. I don't think that's the right one. Let me give you another one. So keep talking, you guys, about the goats while I send another phone number to Nathan.
It's questionable that the goats were "quote unquote" non-native in the first place, in that the Olympic Peninsula is only 100 miles from the Cascades, where they are considered native. And the area in between, very swampy bottomland, was never good for preserving fossils. They say, well, there's an absence of fossils of mountain goats in Olympic National Park and an absence of fossils in the area in between. But given the type of soil that you have there, that doesn't prove much. And the earliest accounts of explorers in what's now Olympic National Park do mention mountain goats being there. We've run into this in other places in the West too, where the Park Service and State Fish and Wildlife Services will say, well, they must have confused mountain goats with bighorn sheep, which first of all is not that easy. And then they're saying that people like Kit Carson and Jim Bridger didn't know a sheep from a goat. I guarantee you they did. Among other things, they lived on these guys when they shot them, and they certainly knew what it was that they were writing down in their logs that they were encountering. So it really does look from the old records that mountain goats were much more broadly distributed than they have been since people began formally keeping track of them in the late 20th century. I also need to mention a guy named William Hornaday, who is one of the great pioneering biologists and ecologists in the United States, founder of the Bronx Zoo. But he concluded that there were no mountain goats in quite a lot of the West when he went out to try to hunt some and was unsuccessful. And he just concluded that because he was a great hunter and he didn't find one, they weren't there. Well, I think they were a little smarter than Hornaday.
Yeah.
Because
wow. They are smart.
Among other things, several of the states where Hornaday said there were no mountain goats continued to sell licenses to hunt mountain goats into the 1950s. Are they selling a license to hunt something that isn't there and get away with it for decades? I don't think so. It was during this time that the goats were brought to Olympic National Park by the Forest Service, and they were apparently bringing goats who didn't exist to a park to be hunted. It really makes no sense. And the more you look into the history of goats in the West, the less sense it makes. And this is just the latest fiasco.
Well, yeah, I'm so glad that we've discovered you and connected with you, and that you can keep us informed of this, because I'm as guilty as anyone else. I just thought when we re-entered, you know, they moved the goats, I just assumed since we hadn't heard anything that all was well, and that we'd relocated the goats and they were happy and doing well. But obviously that's not the case. No. And well, for heaven's sakes, we can't take care of our own goats. We probably can't take care of somebody else's zebras either. So
most people just feel that, well, you know, it's the Park Service. They know what they're doing. They have biologists that say it's so. But don't be afraid to question what they're doing and saying. A lot of this is also make work, keeps them busy. And this was a huge undertaking to helicopter out 300-something goats.
What they do is they spot them with a helicopter, shoot them with a tranquilizer gun, use a helicopter to take them to a parking lot, then load them on a truck. So this is pretty rough treatment of the goats to begin with,
right,
over and above the difficulty of adjusting to a new habitat, finding food, avoiding predators, avoiding roads. A lot of animals wouldn't survive that kind of abusive treatment in the first place. Mountain goats are fairly rugged, so they probably had a better chance, but it's still just very rough.
Yeah, man.
And meanwhile, this is going on at the same time that the puma population has been recovering. Wolves have come into the state and begun recovering. We're pretty close now to reintroducing grizzlies, who've long been a pretty...
I had heard that, or it might have been you saying something.
Sounds great.
But since we've did such a crappy job with the goats, well, I mean, should we be messing with the grizzlies?
Well, if I may say so, I'm not impressed, because they're doing it so they can be hunted.
Oh, well, we bring them back good, so we can kill them.
Yeah, it sounds
good. Oh, jeez. All right, I think we need to take a break. Well, and I'm so grateful for the two of you, because obviously Sita must be up to her eyeballs at Temple and what's going on. We've not been able to locate her. Do you mind hanging with us?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll take a break here. And while we do that, We'll see if we can't track down Sita, because there's a big event that we needed to talk about. But if not, we'll continue with Beth and Merritt Clifton and Henry the Rooster. So stick right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues straight ahead right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you, what's going on in your personal life, or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com. to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150, we heard from our wonderful Natasha Venter, and she is our intuitive communicator, medium, personal awareness coach, and basically general psychic person. She's here the third Sunday of every month, and you're hearing on those shows that she's really pretty accurate in what she's able to find out about us and our animal friends. And so you want to join us on the third Sunday of the month for Natasha and free readings, or you can contact her anytime offline. Website is intuitiveclarifications.com, include intuitiveclarifications.com. Her YouTube channel is intuitive, Natasha Venter IC, for Intuitive Clarifications. Natasha Venter IC, and she continues to do her podcast at 4 p.m. on Wednesdays, and she's available for private readings and reasonably priced, amazingly. So you can call her at 360-770-2836. I sent her another listener of ours who had lost one of her animal friends and knew she wouldn't be comfortable speaking on the air, so I referred her to Natasha, and Natasha has been of great help. So if you need help, Natasha Venter, intuitive clarifications.com. Jude Ponton at Whispering Dragon Center is in Shoreline now with easy access, great parking. You can work with her and for non-invasive chiropractic, acutonics, acupuncture, and the gongs and the chimes, and she can work with you in person or remotely. And whispering-dragon.com website, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give her a call at 206-706-2836. If you do something wonderful for animals, humans, or the planet we live on, come join our family of advertisers. Shoot me an email if you're interested, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All righty then. So, Merritt and Beth, we apparently Henry got a little ants in his pants and had to go back outside. But what a magnificent rooster. Thank him for us that he did such a great job of hanging in for so long. Man, he's a big boy, too. Do you have an estimate? How much do you think he weighs?
Well,
hard to tell with all those feathers, you know?
Yeah. Probably the size of a small cat.
Yeah, because he looks really huge.
Weight of a small cat. So let's say maybe 10 to 12 pounds. I've seen other roosters of his breed, and none of them come close to his size.
All right. Well, he's a famous guy. All righty. So I guess we've talked about the zebras and the mountain goats, and now the grizzlies. Now I missed some of that because I was communicating with Nathan while you were talking about it. Are we definitely bringing grizzlies in?
The countdown for restoration of grizzlies, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has approved the plan. There is quite a lot of habitat that was formerly grizzly habitat in especially the northeastern part of the state. Going back 150 years, grizzly bears ranged all the way down the mountains, all the way down into California, where they were called the California grizzly bear or California golden bear, and became the emblem of the university sports teams. So this was all within relatively recent memory. It was all grizzly habitat, and Washington was their last retreat as they retreated north through a combination of hunting, logging, development, chasing them out of their habitat. But now a lot of the forests have come back. The habitat has come back. There's everything there that grizzlies need to live except grizzlies, who once in a blue moon will cross over from Canada or cross over from Idaho. And now there's going to be an effort made to keep them there, which is going to involve a lot of conflict with ranchers, of course, because a grizzly bear will take a cow if it can.
A grizzly bear would take a cow. Okay.
Yeah. A grizzly bear is a fearsome predator, but they tend to have very large territories that they don't share with other grizzlies. And they tend to stay at upper elevations. They don't tend to come down very much where people are. You have to hike up into grizzly habitat.
Oh, okay.
Up the mountain road or something. Me and Beth have seen grizzlies in the wild a number of times, but we've always had to drive into their habitat.
Oh, I see. You've had to go look for them.
We've had to go look for them.
You didn't just run into them by accident somewhere.
No, you don't want to just run into them by accident, of course. But if you're going into rugged backcountry, you know there's a number of hazards that may be out there. You may fall one way or another. You have to be careful. You have to be on your own.
Well, so then the stories we hear, like, you know, grizzlies like up in Alaska, you know, and people running into them by accident, that's because they're already in grizzly territory?
Right. They're already in grizzly territory.
Here in our state, if we they're back, you kind of would have to go up into their
it's the same as around Yellowstone National Park. Every year there's some people get into trouble with grizzly bears because they hike into their habitat and they do something dumb like leave food around the campsite.
Right. Okay.
They don't come down into town for the most part. There's a little bit of a problem with that around Jackson Hole, where you've basically got a city built in grizzly habitat, and people do things like leave food out, leave garbage cans accessible, et cetera. And the grizzlies are attracted to that. Some of them end up being relocated. Some of them end up being shot. But most of the grizzly habitat in the Rocky Mountains, there is no human contact because there are no humans going up there.
All right. So grizzlies were natural to our state originally.
Right.
Now, is the reason we don't have them now because they were killed off by hunting, or why don't we have any now?
Well, it's partially hunting and partly habitat change. When forests were cut down, that's grizzly habitat being changed. When roads are built through the mountains, that's cutting grizzly habitat. Excuse me, that's cutting through grizzly habitat and interfering with their ability to find each other and mate. And since they have colossal territories in the first place, they have to find each other. Now, the decline of salmon, it was also a big factor. Salmon are, in the spawning season, a very important food source for grizzly bears. And when you don't have the salmon going up past the dams, you don't have the food source going up into the grizzly habitat in the salmon run times either.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. We had, grizzly bears were natural here in the state. But it wasn't just over hunting that, you know, wiped out the whole thing, which was kind of, I'd say, what really happened with wolves, that wolves were more just hunted to extinction than anything else. Okay. But there were other factors involved with habitat and all of that sort of stuff with grizzlies. All right. So I'm wondering, why are we wanting to bring them back in now? And especially if you say, all right, because they didn't survive because of hunting, but also because of habitat and all the things that you've mentioned. Well, that hasn't improved. If anything, that's gotten worse and will continue to get worse. So why are we bringing them back? And then you said, well, to hunt them. That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
they'll never say
well,
the population would have to reach a certain level where they would be taken off the endangered species list.
Okay, so bringing them back in right away, they wouldn't be legal to hunt. But if the numbers got up high enough, then we could kill them.
Well, here's the asterisk on it. They're looking at the totality of the grizzly bear population in the Pacific Northwest. So if the grizzly bear population gets high enough in some other locations, then they could be hunted here too. The grizzlies could come off the endangered species list. Conversely, if grizzly bears are reintroduced to Washington, you can say, well, their range is now extended beyond Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. So they're doing fine. So now they can be hunted in Idaho, Montana. And
Wyoming.
A lot of politics involved here.
And it doesn't seem like the welfare of the animals are at the top of the list in terms of consideration.
Not really. Never were. And we're talking about a species where they're still only 500 or so in the lower 48.
All right. So is there anything we can do to change this or anything? Are we sure? What do you think about that? I mean, do we just go along with this? Is there anything that can be done or should be done? I mean, what do you guys think? You know more than pretty much all of us on this subject.
Well, it gets into a lot of political issues, basically. And you have a divide between rural areas that don't want any livestock predators and urban areas where people like to be able to go out and see these animals. And, you know, these things have to be resolved at the political level. They keep ending up back in court, but all the courts can do is respond to what the laws are.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, it seems to me we didn't do a very good job with the we did the wolves too. And I don't know how good we're doing with that. We could touch that. But and then we totally blew it, it sounds like, with the mountain goats. We don't have a clue what's gone on with them and what happened to 300 mountain goats. And now they want to bring in grizzlies. Well, geez, doesn't sound like state's got a very good track record in dealing with all of this.
Well, at the grizzlies, it's not just the state. It's the, well, I guess they're both the feds, because it's the National Park Service as well with the goats. But one of the problems is there's some philosophical presumptions built into our wildlife laws and in the Endangered Species Act that aren't necessarily accurate or realistic. And we have to remember these laws were written back in the 1960s and 1970s. And we know a hell of a lot more about evolution, species propagation, species recovery, way more than we did back then. And some of these laws are due for some updating. The problem is, how do we get them updated to the animal's advantage instead of to the advantage of the hunters, the ranchers, the tourist industry, et cetera? It's not a situation that has quick or simple answers, but involvement is certainly critical. Stay informed. Keep your politicians informed of what your concerns are. There's an election year coming up. A lot of town hall forums being held by guys running for office. It's a good time to go there, stand up, and
ask questions
and express concerns.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I guess, the bottom line is we all better pay closer attention, to what's going on in our state and with the animals and so forth, and also on a federal level. Yeah. But it seems to me that we are not doing a very good job.
Make sure that animals are on the agenda.
Yeah, and I could when we started bringing wolves back in, I could understand that. And of course, I love wolves, and I lived with a pack of what I called wolf odies, my Arctic wolf coyote and shepherd hybrids. I mean, not on purpose. I mean, but for what I do, I ended up with this pack of wolves, and I learned so much from them. They're incredible animals. And so I could see, bringing them back in, but it seemed to me that the problems that caused them to be hunted to extinction to begin with are just worse now. And that all of that hasn't been managed all that well. And I mean, are we doing a good job with managing wolves in this state?
I would say not. There are a few ranchers who have disproportionately great influence. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And as a result, a great many wolves have been removed for so-called management reasons. That means they're killed.
Right.
Who really should have been left alone. And the ranchers should not have been allowed to do things like pasture animals, where they're basically baiting wolves into problematic areas. Reams have been written about that. There have been court battles waged about it. But it really comes down to the biggest obstacles to wolves in Washington have been just a handful of ranchers. And those are our wolves. We're paying for them.
Wow. All right. Well, I guess we don't have any more time. We're completely out of time and over time, but I appreciate your extra time and all of that. And I guess the good news for today is the zebra was found. At least the zebra didn't go off with the Sasquatch or something, or get killed. So even though, well, we'll just leave it at that. The zebra was found, and that's our good news. Okay. And Henry joined us on Animal World. That's the really good news. But thank you guys, for staying on top of all of this and keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again the first Sunday in June, and it may be for the whole hour, if Ananda is busy. But anyway, thank you so much. God bless, and give Henry a kiss from Aunt Martha. And we'll see you next month. God bless you guys.
Bye.
All righty, we are out of here and over time, and just want to say, Nathan, thank you for the tap dancing, and I'm so glad we have Merritt and Beth Clifton. And remember, get on animals24-7.org, contribute to the cause, because they'll be teaching us more as time goes on. And as always, I leave you with, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love for all living things, and think good thoughts about Nathan finding a condo, and I'll talk to you again next week. Bye.